The 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection unto the day of Christ Jesus. And I have the right to feel so about you all, because I have you in my heart, all of you, alike in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, as sharers in my joy. For God is my witness how I long for you all in the heart of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the better things, that you may be upright and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time the Pharisees went and took counsel as to how they might trap Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truthful, and that thou teachest the way of God in truth, and that thou carest not for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, Whose are this image and the inscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed Miriam Boardi was a Carmelite nun. She was a mystic, and she had the stigmata, and she was a victim soul. And she died in the late 1800s. And when she was a little girl, her parents died when she was about 2 years old, and she had to live with her uncle. She was from the Holy Land. And her uncle had some property with some orchards, some apricot orchards, and other things. And when she was a little girl, she used to like to go out in the orchard. She had, given to her as a gift, was a little bird cage with little songbirds, little birds. And she, as a little girl, 7, 8, 9 years old, just loved the little birds very much. So one day she decided that her birds needed a bath. So she took them out to the orchard, and she proceeded to accidentally drown them all. And this broke her little heart. She was terribly sad at this. And so she decided that she should bury the birds. And so she was getting ready to do that when she heard a voice deep inside her heart. And it said, This is how everything passes. If you will give me your heart, I will always remain with you. And so she did. She gave our Lord her heart. He was always with her, and he helped her to obtain a high degree of sanctity. If you will give me your heart. In today's gospel, our Lord says that we should render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's. That is, the things of the government and the world. We should pay our taxes, and to do the things that are in front of us, the material things that we have to do. But we are to render to God those things that are God's. And that is, we should give God really our life. We should give him our heart. It is his. He gave it to us. And we are free to do with it what we want. But we should render it back to him. St. Paul in the epistle talks about our conversion. He says, or our first graces. He says, I am convinced that the Lord Jesus, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Christ Jesus. That until the day of Christ Jesus is referring to the day when we appear before him, when we either at the end of time or at the end of our life. That is the day of Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm convinced that Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to perfection. What is that good work that he began in us? And that was the graces that he gave us at our baptism. For many of us, that occurred really without our knowledge, without our consent. Our parents and our godparents brought us to the baptismal font, where we were given then the great graces, the extraordinary graces of baptism. Our original sin was taken away. We were given sanctifying grace. That is the grace to make us holy and pleasing to God. The grace that allows us to go to heaven if we preserve it. Also, we became a child of God then. In addition, we received the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells within us. And then finally, of course, he gave us additional graces. He gave us charity, that divine love infused within us. It was a little child, it is just there inchoate in the beginning. But as we live our life, we should live it in the way that God wants us to live. That we should live these graces. Later on, St. Paul talks, he makes reference to this again in the same reading. He says, and this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the better things, and that you may be upright and without offense unto the day of Christ. Unto the day of your judgment. Christ gave us these gifts in our baptism. He began that work in us, but he will not complete it without us. We have to choose him. St. Paul says, let me read that again, that you may approve the better things. That is, you may choose the better things. That we have to choose Christ. God created us, and he also begins our redemption in us without us. But he will not complete it without our approval, without us joining him, without us saying yes. We have to do this. St. Paul says that you may be upright and without offense until the day of Christ. That word upright is sometimes translated sincere. Sincere, that is referring to our interior. That we would have a sincere heart. That we would want things without duplicity, without deception. No little children, five and six years old, before the age of reason, can be so sincere in their heart that when they love with almost perfect purity. Of course, little children can also be pretty naughty also, but we set that aside when we think about the spiritual truth that can be gained by looking at them. I think everybody who spent any time with a five or six-year-old child has seen that pure love that a little child can have. And that love is what we all should be striving for, that purity of heart. Without duplicity, without cynicism, but that sincerity that we should have. And that's interior. And then St. Paul says, so we may be sincere and without offense. But without offense is referring to the exterior. That we shouldn't offend other people. That we need to treat them as who they are. That is the image of Christ. That we should interact with them in a way that befits their dignity. Now, every sin that we commit is really a sin against one of these two motions, the interior sincerity or our exterior acts. And so we should then look at this, think about our actions and our interior life. How do we do this? How do we live the way Christ wants us to live? The best way is very simply that simple movement of giving him our heart. or you can give it to Our Lady. Everything that Our Lady has, of course, is Our Lord's. Very simple, to give Him our heart so that He would guide us and help us to be holy. Every one of us has a plan. God has a plan for every one of us. And that we must strive to conform to that. We're not called oftentimes to do great things, to change the world and become famous. But our life, those things that are placed before us, we should do them with that sincerity of heart, purity of heart. That we should interact with others with peace, the peace of Christ. This is our life. This is what we should strive to do. In the Gospel, our Lord says, of course, render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Really, we should render God our life completely, everything, every action, every intention. And He says this in to confound the Pharisees and the Herodians who are trying to trap Him. Now, it's interesting. The Pharisees and the Herodians are actually enemies. Right? The Pharisees don't really recognize Herod as being the rightful king, and yet, to fight the common enemy, they're willing to put aside their differences in order to try to trap Christ. But of course, Christ gives a response that confounds them. But there's a deeper level there, because He's talking directly to them. For they are the ones who aren't rendering to God that which is God's. They're the ones who are trying to trap Him. In their heart, they're not sincere. They're duplicitous. Externally, they give Him false praise. They say, "Thou carest not for any man and no regard for any person." They don't really mean that. It's just false praise to try to trap Him. So both their interior and their exterior are not in conformity. They're not really interested in rendering the things to God that they should. They're only interested in this world and to somehow trap Him and to get Him out of the way. We, though, should strive to live the life that Christ has put before us, to live it the best that we can. St. Thérèse of Lisieux talks about the little things. The very little things are sometimes the most important. That they might be as small and insignificant as a grain of sand, and yet, if we do it with love and sincerity, it can be a great spiritual benefit, not only for us, but for those around us. Those who God has put in our life to love. This is really what we should strive for. It's easy to get too bogged down with all the rules, although they're important. But we have to remember that ultimately it is our heart. It is our love. To the degree we imitate Christ is the degree of our holiness. So we should pray to Christ to enlighten us, and He would show us these little things in our heart where we're not sincere. We should pray to Him that we should be able to see ourselves. Let me see my heart as You see me, as You see it. We are very good at deceiving ourselves. We think we're doing great things for God, whereas in reality we're doing them for ourselves. Ask Him to enlighten you. Let me see myself as You see me. Blessed Miriam has a little saying, a quote. She says that only love can fill the heart of man. The just man is satisfied with love and a pinch of earth. She's very wise in saying that, because we're in this world, and yes, we do have our needs, our material needs. So she talks about that little pinch of earth that we need. We need to have clothes and food and things like that. But it shouldn't be that important. Just a pinch of those things. We're satisfied, though, only when we have love. But the wicked man, she says, with all the pleasures, honors, and riches he can acquire, is always hungry, always thirsty. He's never satisfied. The things of the world will never satisfy us. It is only love. And so we should render to God the things that are God's. We should render our hearts to Him. Give it to Him so that He can complete that which He begun in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.